For about a year, science teacher Rick Erickson taught classes about Lake Superior, which created a lot of student interest in the world's other largest lake, Lake Baikal. That's in Siberia, Russia. Last summer, seven students and their teacher and chaperones traveled 5,500 miles from Bayfield to Lake Baikal to experience the cultures and natural history of Russia's largest body of water. Joining us now is Wisconsin's High School Teacher of the Year, Rick Erickson, who is in his classroom in Bayfield this morning to tell us about this big adventure with two big lakes. Hello, Mr. Erickson. How are you today?
Oh, glad to be here. I'm doing very well.
Glad to have you. So could you tell us some things you studied about Lake Superior first?
Sure. I have a program here that I've developed that's a place-based program. It's also project-based, and so a lot of the learning is experiential learning. And so for the last 10 years or so, we've been doing a lot of different studies about Lake Superior because I know that students learn best when the material that they learn is relevant to them. So a lot of our studies focus on the Shawamigan Bay area. We've done research on the seiche and the currents within the Apostle Islands on Lake Superior. We've looked at the changing duration of the ice season between Bayfield and Madeline Island. We've done research over the last 3 years on the aquatic food web within the Apostle Islands, specifically on using stable isotopes to analyze the food web all the way from the base of the food web from plankton to the top of the food web with eagles. We've developed a pretty successful sugarbush project. We're doing mammal inventories on a couple of the Apostle Islands. So a lot of what we've been doing is just focused on this area to keep kids' interest in learning.
And how did the idea for going to Lake Baikal develop?
You know, that's something that I've been teaching in Bayfield now for 20 years, and over the last 30 years, there have been several different connections between Lake Superior and Lake Baikal with other groups, but none of those interactions involve students. So I thought it was about time that we did something with students between those two lakes. Really, it just started with the idea that I wanted to explore that other greatest lake in the world and learn more about it scientifically.
Well, it sounds like a great idea, but how did you actually make it happen? How did the funding work for the students? Seems like there'd be a lot of obstacles to getting that done.
Yeah, there were a lot of obstacles. It was a very difficult process. We started 2 years ago, made some connections with some people in Siberia that live in the Lake Baikal watershed, and eventually I made a connection with a teacher over there who was very interested in the project, and he's a person that leads backpacking trips on Baikal in the summer, so it was a nice connection. We started there, and then funding, the school was a great supporter. They've been our biggest supporter, both in spirit and in funds, and provided a good seed money to start the project, and then we wrote a lot of grant proposals. We got some private donations, and whatever was left, the participants covered. And then we set off, and initially we went there with the intention of learning about the science of the lake, but really it ended up being more of a cultural exchange and learning more about how these large lakes shape the cultures of the people who live here.
So what did you learn about Lake Baikal and the culture that it shaped?
We learned a lot about the factual stuff, which is what we initially had intended to do, that things like the fact that Lake Baikal is still growing. It's a continental rift zone, so the continent is spreading there, so the lake is getting larger. We learned that the relief of Lake Baikal is phenomenal. It's a mile-deep lake and mile-high mountains on either side. You know, for me personally, what I took away from it was that Lake Baikal is, it reminded me a lot of Lake Superior's North Shore. It doesn't have the beaches of the South Shore. It's a more rugged, more remote lake. But mostly we learned about the people that we met. We stayed with host families over there, and so we learned that Lake Baikal is part of their soul. Lake Superior is part of ours, that they have a deep respect for Baikal, like we have a deep respect for Superior. And then really what we took away mostly is that people are people everywhere.
Yeah, and I read some interesting things about the language barriers and how you guys dealt with that. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Really, English is not spoken as much as we were told it was. What was really cool was that because our guide in Baikal was a teacher, he's actually an elementary school teacher, but he teaches English language classes privately after school, and our hosts were those families. And so in our host family situations, the translator really was a teenager, usually somebody between the ages of 10 and 15, who was the only one who was bilingual. And that was a pretty cool experience because we didn't speak much Russian. We learned a little, but not much. And the adults that we were staying with there really didn't speak English. So we relied on these teenagers to do the translations, which was very cool.
Yeah, and I understand they're keeping in touch with the students they met over in Russia?
Yeah, they are. We've been keeping in touch oftentimes through Skype and through email. The intention is that group of people that we met and the people that hosted us last summer will be coming here in the summer of 2015, and they'll be staying with us here in the Bayfield area, and we'll take them out and teach them about Lake Superior like they taught us about Lake Baikal.
And do you have any future trips back to Baikal planned?
You know, we don't at the moment. When we started planning this, the idea was that this would be a four-year rotation so that while students were in high school, they would have the opportunity to go. So I think right now what we have in mind is that we'll repeat this cycle every 4 years. So every 4 years we'll go there, and the following summer they'll come here. It could be that will change, but that's the initial intent at this point.
And where can people get more info if they're interested?
We set up a website last year. The website is bayfieldbaikal.weebly.com. That's probably the best place to go for information. It has a blog from last summer and has some videos that we took. We tried to document the entire project through photos and through video as much as we possibly could.
We've been talking with science teacher Rick Erickson from his classroom in Bayfield, Wisconsin. He and a group of students and chaperones visited Russia's Lake Baikal this past summer. Rick, is there anything else you'd like to add?
You know, I think it was an amazing experience. It was everything we wanted it to be as far as the experience on the lake, but the experience with people really made it far more than what we expected. And what was really cool while we were there was that our hosts traveled with us. So while we were hiking the shores of Baikal and riding the Circumbaikal Railroad, our Siberian host traveled with us. And you know, we did most of our communicating by playing games and singing songs and taking saunas and communicating in whatever way possible because our language skills were very limited. But there was a lot of singing and a lot of playing games, the kind of games that you play in elementary school, and like Red Rover. And it was just an amazing experience for everyone, the students and the adults.
It sounds like a great trip. Check out bayfieldbaikal.weebly.com for more information on it. Thank you so much for joining us today, Rick.
Thank you.
This feature was funded in part by the Coastal Zone Management Act of 1972, as amended by NOAA's Office of Ocean and Coastal Resource Management, in conjunction with Minnesota's Lake Superior Coastal Program. The statements, findings, conclusions, and recommendations are those of the producer and do not necessarily reflect the views of NOAA's Office of Ocean and Coastal Resource Management, Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, or Minnesota's Lake Superior Coastal Program.